2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're continuing our series of speaking of our identity in Christ, different facets of it as shown in the scriptures. There's many different metaphors that the scriptures use to describe it, our understanding of who we are in Christ. Of course, we sometimes kind of miss some of it because we kind of our main thing, getting saved, being saved from the punishment of hell, but there's other things involved, and we want to get more of an understanding of that, what the Lord would have us to do, what the Lord would have us to be. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 3 and 4. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great salvation. We thank you for being with us, Lord, through anything that we might face. We just pray you would help us as we look into this portion of your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to realize the battle that we are in. And that help us, Lord, that we may fight a good fight, and that we would please you who have chosen us to be soldiers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And this past week, we've passed through a time in our calendar as a nation that we remember, we contemplate the soldiers who fought and died on our behalf so that we might live in a land of freedom and justice. And it's something that when we understand our identity as Christians, as we look in the scriptures, that we see it spoken of here and in other places of how that we are soldiers. And we recognize that when we accept Christ as soldiers, that we've become Christ as Savior, that we've become soldiers in a great conflict that has spanned the centuries and engulfs the world. And some ways that it kind of conflicts with what we think that the Christian life should be. We read in Romans 12, verse 18, that as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And so we think, well, how can we be soldiers when we're supposed to live peaceably? We see also in John 19 and verse 36 that Jesus spoke to Pilate. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." John 19 and there must be 18 verse 36. John 18 verse 6, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." That we understand that we don't have, in that sense, a reason to fight in this world in that way, because that we our citizenship is in heaven, that we do not have a desire to fight. We understand that lifting up the sword for the propagation of Christianity, it goes against so much of Scripture. And we recognize, regrettably, as we study history, we look at the Crusades and other times in history, that there's many misguided souls that have done that have lifted up the sword for the propagation of Christianity, and it does not honor the name of Christ. It brings shame unto his name, and it is a sad thing that happens. We read in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that we do not rely upon the sword or the gun or anything like that to spread the gospel. It would actually work against it in many ways. We see that it is the gospel of Christ, the preaching of the cross, that is the power of God unto salvation. That's what can change the world. And we see that the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we've actually found that the power of the gospel through history has had greater power than that of the sword in many ways. And so we wonder, well, how can we be soldiers? What does this mean? That it speaks of this in this passage here in 2 Timothy, that we're good to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we want to realize that we are in a battle as believers, and God wants us to fight a good fight. Paul's desire in Timothy, 1 Timothy 1 verse 18, he said that he gave a charge to them that he would war a good warfare. And that's what we want to do. We understand that if you're in a war, you know you don't want to be in the war, but if you are, you want to win. And that's the thought, that if we find ourselves that we're in this conflict, we want to be victorious. And we want to realize that whether we like it or not, we are at war as believers. And it's not due to our own aggression. It's not something that we've declared war in a sense on anyone else or anything like that. But we recognize that war has been declared against us, because we do have an adversary. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And it says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." That we understand we do have an enemy, that he hates all humanity, simply because we are made in the image of God. And though we recognize in the cross of Christ that he has become a defeated foe, that his end is the lake of fire, we realize that he wants to take as many with him as he can. He wants to deceive and draw away as many people as he can, blind them to the truth of the gospel, so that they will join him in the fires of the lake of fire, that they won't come to Christ for salvation. But any of us, if we've come to Christ, it infuriates him all the more. And he knows that he can't keep us from heaven, but he wants to do everything he can in his power to hurt us as believers. He wants to keep us from growing in Christ. He wants to keep us from bringing forth fruit. That he will seek to deceive and distract. He will seek to tempt us, lead us astray. So often he will try to wound us in ways not physically necessarily, but so often emotionally. That he sees if we have an enthusiasm, if we have a desire to serve the Lord, that he kind of says, "Well, I'm going to bring some hurt in their life that will hurt them so deeply that it'll keep them quiet, so that they'll never again step forward and serve me like the Lord wants them to." And we realize that he is very cruel. He doesn't. We understand in war today that they have what's called the Geneva Convention, where they made different rules of war, that if you're to do it honorably and properly, that it was to be waged in a certain way. And those who do not follow that are guilty of war crimes, and they're brought to trial amongst the nations of the world. But we realize that with the devil, that he doesn't follow any kind of rules or anything, that he so often goes after those that are weak. That we understand that even in a family, that he'll go after a wife, a child, in a family, try to destroy the family from within. That it is a cruel thing, and we ourselves can think of different people that we know, that we love, that where something has happened in their life, that the devil has brought something into their life, and they are hurt, they are wounded, or perhaps the devil sent a temptation across their path that they fell to, and the life they had, the testimony they had, is destroyed. And so we want to realize that we have an enemy that is much too strong for us in our own strength. And that's why we need God's help to withstand him. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, it's verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That we need his help. It says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." That we realize that we do not have to go looking for a fight, that the battle is coming to us, that the devil seeks to oppose, seeks to destroy, and we need his strength that we might be able to stand. And we recognize as well from this passage, it says in verse 12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that's something we find so often, that we get distracted, that we're waging a war against the devil, but we think that we're fighting each other. Sometimes as Christians we can be wrestling with fellow believers when really we're not to do that, that we're to love one another, we're to find a way to get along and keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And sometimes we think, well, we need to wrestle with the lost, we need to argue with them, we need to debate with them, and certainly we need to tell them the truth and earnestly contend for the faith. But we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And we want to realize that people that we see, people that we might look at as opposing us, as being our enemies, that they're not really the ones that we're fighting against. They're actually the ones that we're fighting for. We see how it speaks of in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 that we're to love our enemies, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that persecute you. All these things that we're seeking their salvation, we're seeking their deliverance, that we are part of a great rescue mission set out by our commander-in-chief himself, that we have been rescued. And he wants us to have a part in that, in rescuing others and delivering them from the wrath to come. And so it is up to us to do that, to try to minister, and not even though that we can be attacked by these same people that we want to help, that they've been brainwashed, thinking that we're their enemies when we're their greatest friends, we need not fight against them, but we enter into that spiritual battle of praying for them, asking the Lord to have mercy, that they've been taken captive by the devil, and we want them to come to repentance, the acknowledging of the truth. And so we realize that we're part of this war. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ, whether we realize it or not, upon salvation, that we have entered into this battle. And that's what we recognize. When we first came to Christ, our main focus was, I want to be saved from the punishments of hell. And of course, that's an important part, but we realize as we get further along in our Christian walk, we get a full understanding. And sometimes when we do, it frightens us. And we sort of say, well, this isn't what I signed up for. This is not what I wanted to be a part of. But we realize that we can't change it now. I recall a statement that was made during one of the Remembrance Day presentations this week. They said of the ones that signed up that many of them, when they signed up and they were on their way, most of them in their late teens, early 20s, they were quite naive. And many left thinking, well, this is going to be a great adventure. We're going to see the world, it's going to be easy, and we'll be home by Christmas. They didn't know by which Christmas, of course. But they thought it would be a great adventure. But then as they got into it, they found it to be a marathon of struggle, was the statement that was used. And that's something that we really can apply to the Christian life, that when we get saved, we are excited, and it is a great adventure. There's no life like it in many ways, that we can have an abundant life, a life with purpose, a life with hope, a life not just for this short time that we're on this earth, but a life that can count for eternity. But we recognize as well that it is a marathon of struggle, that the casualties are high. People that we love, people that we hold dear, that many have fallen into sin, many have given up. And so we see that. As it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That we think of so many different things of the soldiers faced, especially we think of World War I in the trenches, of just different times, as in Passchendaele, where it just was so muddy that they had to learn to sleep standing up, because if they lay down, the mud would basically swallow them up. So many different things that we think of, even our soldiers today, that it's not something that you fight for kind of 9 to 5, only 8 hours, and then you get to have a break. That sometimes you can be going for days on end. And I've seen pictures of some of the soldiers that they're completely in their all their combat gear, but they finally got a bit of time to rest, and they're just totally exhausted, and they're sleeping right where they are. Didn't even take time to get undressed or anything, that they just exhausted. But we realize that's the life of a soldier, that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard sometimes, but we have to endure to keep going. That it's not something that we can stop. It's not something that we can say, well, I need a break. And because that's the sad thing with the devil, is so often when we find ourselves weak, he doesn't let up. He actually moves in for the kill. And we realize so much how we need the Lord's help. If we are to endure, we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we ask that, if we're in this great war against an enemy that is so strong, how can we endure? How can we survive? How can we be victorious? We recognize that we have to fight in God's power, not in our own. And we see in Ephesians 6 how it speaks of this armor that He has given us. This, with our loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness. All these things that we rely upon Him and not our own. That we don't stand in our own righteousness before the devil, because such a breastplate would be so full of holes that it would not be able to stop any of his blows. But the breastplate of the righteousness of Christ, there's not any chink in that armor, and it protects us. The shield of faith, that we can stand behind it, and all the fiery darts will fall harmlessly at our feet, because it stands in our way, it protects us. That it's something that we realize when we have this armor that the Lord has given to us, it isn't something that we kind of keep in a bag and we keep next to us, and so when the trouble comes that we put it on. That we realize that we need it all the time, especially times when we think that things are going easy, thinks that we can relax. That's so often when the devil will make his attacks. That we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. That each morning it needs to be something that we put these upon us, that we would be ready for whatever we might face. I remember working at the smelter and trail, that each day there was always a preparation that we had to do. That we came in our street clothes, and we'd have to change in our work clothes, and then we had all this different safety gear that we had to put on. We had our hard hats and our safety boots. We had our respirators and our safety glasses and our earplugs. And all of it was something that we didn't necessarily know what we were getting into, what hazards we might face, but we had to be prepared for whatever might come. That some days we might have a gas leak, we'd have to put on our respirators and get out of there. Other times we'd be around some heavy machinery that was very loud, we'd have to have it on. But it was a thing that each day that we had to have it on to be prepared for whatever would come. And the thing was, is that at least when we're working at the smelter, there wasn't anybody that was intentionally trying to injure us. At least you hope not. That it was just things that could happen by accident. We realize with the devil that he's out there to get us. He wants to destroy us. And so we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And we see that the Lord gives us things for our defense, helmet of salvation, the other things. But we also see he gives us things to fight with, things for offense. We see the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that the Word of God and prayer are what we can use in this spiritual battle. These things so often that the world despises, that the world thinks has no power, that we realize how great the power of the gospel can be, how great the power of prayer can be. And so that is what we can do, that even if it's something that physically we may not be at a place that we could ever contend with anyone, yet we can have great power in these things, in the Word of God and in prayer. And those are to be what we're to use. If we're to wield the sword of the Lord, we need to study it. We need to become practiced in it so that we could divide it properly, that we could use it effectively as led by the Spirit, and that we be people of prayer, that be our focus, that we would seek to truly pray without ceasing, that we can have a great impact through prayer. And we realize, as soldiers, that we're in a battle, that we don't always get it right. There's times that we falter and fail. There's sometimes the devil gets an advantage over us. But it's something we want to realize in the fight that we have, that the devil only beats us if we stay down. That each time that we fail, that the grace of God is greater than our sin, that He can lift us up, He can do great things. We see in the Scriptures and we see throughout history so often that the Lord can take someone that would be considered a casualty of war in that spiritual sense, and yet heal that person, enable them to come out of nowhere and have a great victory. We think of Samson, for instance, of how he had failed God, he had brought shame upon the Lord's name, he was taken captive, his eyes were put out, but yet at the end of his life, the Lord gave him one last opportunity to serve Him. And in that one time that he did more in his death than he did in all the rest of his life for the Lord. And so we realize that the Lord can do that, that even though we sometimes don't get it right, sometimes we fail, the Lord can still use us, the Lord can still be with us, that the war is not over yet, and that we need to keep fighting. And we see it given here in verse 4 of 2 Timothy 2, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And that's what we want to realize as we are serving the Lord, that we are in the world, but we are not of the world, that we are to walk apart from the world, that we know that this world is going to pass away, and seeing that those things are going to be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be in holy conversation and godliness? That as a soldier, that we recognize that we need to discipline ourselves. And so often we will find in our Christian walk, in this spiritual battle, that our greatest battles are not against necessarily the devil or the world, but it's against ourselves, our lack of faith, or our desire for things that the Lord says no to. And we have to realize that we have a special duty, that we are not our own, we are bought with a price, that we are to serve the Lord faithfully, that He has given us a call. And there's so many things in this world that we can be entangled with, so many things that we can worry about and concern ourselves with. But the Lord says in Matthew 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And that's what we want to realize, is that we put Him first, that we must live in this world, but we do not want to be entangled by it. We see in Mark chapter 4 the parable of the sower and the seed in the soils. It says, verse 18, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." And we don't want these things, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, to entangle us, to keep us from being fruitful, to keep us from being a good soldier. That we want to please Him who has chosen us to be a soldier, that He has called us out of this world, He's delivered us from the wrath to come, and He has given us a purpose. And we want to please him. We want him to say, well done. We want to say, as Paul did, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And it is something that we, even though it is overwhelming sometimes, we want to recognize that we are on the winning side, that we realize that God has given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not something that we have to just assume, well, I'm going to get beaten up. I'm just going to try to see if I can make it through this battle and get home to glory without causing too much harm or going through too much trouble, but instead that we endure, that we look to the Lord for strength, and we recognize, it says in Romans 8, verse 37, that, well, it says in verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And in verse 37 it says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That we can have the victory, that as we look to him in faith, look to him for strength, that we are in this battle that is going to wage the rest of our life, and we must endure. And we need to stay faithful to him, because he will be faithful to us as we look to him. And we don't have to assume defeat. We can look for victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may the Lord help us that we would do that, that we would be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and we would please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We thank you for calling us into this conflict, Lord, that you would choose to use us to be a part of this mission to rescue people from hell and from the devil's clutches, Lord. We just we realize that we are totally inadequate for the job, but we know that you can train us and equip us and enable us, Lord, to have victory, and that you will go before us, Lord. Help us to not be distracted. Help us to keep our eyes on the spiritual battle that's waged around us, and help that we would do our duty, that we would bring glory to you, Lord, and be used of you to rescue many on your behalf. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to one more hymn, number 414. And we'll sing, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Hymn 414. All right, on the first. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this my world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure I would fight if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Amen. Brother Paul, can you please dismiss us in prayer?